Good morning, everyone, and welcome to One Tribe. It's great to have you here. And if you are new here, I want to give you a special welcome. My name is Bonisi. I'm one of the eldership team here at One Tribe, and it really is great to have you. And you've landed when we are partway through and actually towards the end of a series on the Holy Spirit. And we started off by talking about the Word and the Spirit and how those two go hand in hand. And then we spoke about Jesus and the Spirit, because the Spirit comes to glorify Jesus. And then the week after that, we spoke about the Spirit of Sonship. And in week four, we had a great time talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, something that God wants every believer to experience. And last week, we spoke about the gift of prophecy and stepping into prophecy. And last week, we had a tale of two churches. One was the church in Corinth, and the other was the church in Antioch. And this week, we're going to look at another tale of two churches. We're going to look at the church in Caesarea in the book of Acts, and the church in Corinth again. And we're going to be doing this as we talk about the gift of tongues that the Bible talks about. And we're tackling this for a whole week because we know that there's a lot of confusion around this area. And we can get into one of two camps where either you're kind of under desiring the gift of tongues, or what I sometimes call the gift of languages. You know, I'm not interested in that, and I don't think God wants me to have that. That's one extreme. The other extreme is over desiring the gift of languages. And that means if we over desire it and we have it, we're proud. Or if we over desire it and we don't have it, then our Christian life can start to revolve around that. We start to question God's love and do I really have a place in His purposes? And so there's a lot of confusion about this gift of tongues or gift of languages. And so during the course of this morning, my hope is to help those of us who are maybe over desiring it or under desiring it, and to help those of us who maybe have questions in this area by bringing clarity from God's word. So I'm going to be reading from the story of the church in Caesarea, tale of two churches, from Acts 10 verse 44. But before I do that, I'm going to pray for us. God, we thank you for the promise of your presence here this morning. I pray for your help as I speak. I pray for all of us as we listen, that you would take us by the hand and by your Spirit lead us deeper into your presence, lead us deeper into your power, lead us deeper into your love. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Acts 10 verse 44. This is a fantastic story. What happens is Peter, he's fasting, he's hungry, and he's praying on a roof somewhere. And as he's praying, I think he's in a place called Joppa. What happens is while he's fasting, the Bible says he gets a vision of food. And you can excuse him for that. And this sheet comes down with all kinds of food. Long story short, God speaks to him about going to the house of a guy called Cornelius. Gentiles, non-Jews who haven't heard the gospel. He shouldn't be going to their house. He shouldn't be eating with them. He shouldn't be associating with them. But God tells him to go there and to preach the good news. Check it out in Acts 10 verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on, there's that word we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know the Holy Spirit had been poured out? Well, they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And when you study the fullness of the Holy Spirit that God wants every believer to have in the book of Acts, you'll see that often it's accompanied by tongues or by prophecy. And that's why we're taking a week to talk about prophecy last week and to talk about tongues this week, or the gift of languages. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And so this is just one story of God giving his people this wonderful gift of languages. And we saw it a couple of weeks ago in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at it from this story in the book of Acts. But what happened is Paul, the Apostle Paul, he went and planted a church in a place called Corinth. And just like we spent a lot of last week looking at the gift of prophecy and how the church in Corinth got that totally wrong in so many ways, but because of that, you and I get to benefit from their mistakes. Now we're going to look at how the church in Corinth actually engaged with this gift of tongues, but got it wrong in so many ways, and we get to benefit, we get to listen in as the Apostle Paul coaches these believers in the gift of tongues, the gift of languages. And so in our remaining time, we're going to look at 12 things every believer should know about the gift of tongues. And I'm just going to be drawing those out from 1 Corinthians 14. The whole chapter is great. Read it when you get home, if you can, or during the week. But number one, when I speak in tongues, it's to God, not to people. And that comes from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, anyone who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So as we talk about, as we bring clarity in this important area, this important gift of tongues, the first thing we've got to know is that tongues is about talking to God, not to people. And when you're talking to God, what are you doing? Well, from the Bible uses language like you're praising God, or you're giving thanks to God, or you're uttering mysteries with your spirit. So it's a way of talking to God. It's like a hotline to God, not to people. Second thing we learn about the book of about the gift of tongues or languages is that when I speak in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. That's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Michael Eaton puts it this way: praying praying in tongues, praying in other languages is a form of non-rational prayer. It is a prayer that does not use ordinary language. No one understands it, not even the one who is praying. And so what happens is that when we're praying in tongues, our mind, which is used to being in charge, making decisions for us, being in control, knowing exactly what's going on, Paul says when we're praying in tongues, when we're praying in languages, something else is going on. It actually somehow our spirit is praying, but our mind is unfruitful. And I don't know about your mind, but I know that with my mind doesn't like it when it's not being fruitful. And so it can sometimes fight back and say, what's going on over here? Are you making that up? What's happening? But when I speak in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And Michael Eaton helpfully says here that there are no rules. We shouldn't get too hung up on rules and definitions when we talk about this wonderful gift of languages. And there are different kinds of languages. There's the kind of languages given by the Holy Spirit that we saw on the day of Pentecost a couple of weeks ago. And that was the disciples praying, talking to God. Their spirits praying, but their minds unfruitful. And they were praying in a language they didn't understand, but people listening in the crowd could understand because they were speaking in the earthly languages they could understand. A second kind of praying in tongues or praying in languages is what we experience more commonly today, and that is a believer praying to God, uttering mysteries with their spirit, but they don't know, they don't understand what they're saying, and actually no one else around them understands what they're saying. But it's a private prayer language that's not interpreted. And then there's a third kind of tongues, and with that third kind of tongues, that's a public worship kind of gift, where someone prays out in tongues, talking to God, and then God gives that person or someone else in the room an interpretation. We'll look at that a little bit later. The third thing we learn is that when I speak in tongues, I edify myself. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. It's what Paul says. He who speaks in a tongue or speaks praise in another language edifies himself. This word edifies is sometimes translated build up. And so if my bicep is 15 inches in circumference and I want to be more buff, I go to the gym and I build up my bicep by doing curls and exercises like that. I build my bicep up. Well, the Bible says, in a spiritual sense, if someone prays in tongues, he builds himself up. And just after it says that in the Bible, it says that he who prophesies builds up the church. But just to know that when we pray in tongues, we're actually building ourselves up. And sometimes we can feel that, but sometimes it's regardless of our feelings. And so sometimes, healthy discipline, I think, is at the beginning of my daily devotional, I'll say, I'm going to pray in tongues for 5 minutes. Why? Because it builds us up. I'm building myself up. Tongues is a good thing. That's actually the fourth point. Tongues, team, tongues is a good gift that we can thank God for. Check it out, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Paul says, Church in Corinth, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, he says, how's this? I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, I don't want us to miss how radical a statement this is. The church in Corinth is Christians gone wild. They would have Sunday mornings for them were eat as much communion as you can and have prophesying competitions with one another. And during the week, it's okay to have sex with your relatives. That was the church in Corinth. And so Paul, he's trying to tease out these things in this letter. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit, this church is kind of like tongues on steroids and prophecy on steroids. If that was me, if I was helping that church, I would say, hey, listen, guys, no prophecy for the next 3 months, no tongues for the next 6 months. But Paul doesn't do that. In fact, Paul comes to these over the top when it comes to tongues, and the Spirit she used for that is O-T-T-T. Paul says to this church, hey, you guys pray in tongues a lot. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. I want to let you in on a secret. I speak in tongues more than all of you. And friends, tongues is a good gift that we can be thankful for and that we should desire. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, and this is so important. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Tongues is a good gift that God wants us to have. Why? Because it's one of the signs of God filling us with His Spirit. Not just that, when we pray in tongues, we're edifying ourselves. Sometimes before going into a job interview, you can just pray in tongues for a couple of minutes. You're having a quiet time, like I said earlier, and you don't know how to kickstart things, get things going, you can pray in tongues, it builds your spirit up. And I know many of us who pray in tongues here would testify to that. Tongues is a good gift that we can thank God for. Tongues or languages, this is number 5, is not the greatest gift. Remember, we're combating under desire, and if you're under desiring it this morning, I'm not sure about it. Friends, biblical instruction to you and I, biblical encouragement is eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you prophesy, but not just prophecy, but tongues and interpretation and miracles and healings, the works, eagerly desire them. Hear Paul when he says, man, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. We've got to take that to heart. But we're also combating this over-desire. And number 5 is tongues is not the greatest gift. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues. That's confusing for me. You're like saying, hey, Paul, are you putting up some sort of hierarchy where you've got, you know, a top gift and under gifts? Is that how you think? Paul would say, no, we're one body, many gifts. But see what he says in the rest of the verse. He says, he who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless the guy speaking in tongues interprets. But here's Paul's goal, so that the church may be edified. So Paul isn't saying prophecy good, tongues bad. He's saying, my goal is to edify the church. And if I'm coaching you on how to do life together, when you come together, what edifies the church is prophecy more than tongues. And so, man, if I had to choose, I'd go for prophecy. unless the tongues is interpreted. And that's what we come to in our next point. Before we come to number 6, great verse, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. He says, since you're eager to have spiritual gifts, it's a good attitude, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Mm. Number 6, some tongues are interpreted and some aren't. And I spoke about that a bit earlier, but it's good to underline it and just tease this out a bit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Paul says, he who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. So if someone were to ask the question, when we pray in tongues, or when we pray in these heavenly languages, does it have a meaning? The answer is yes, there is a meaning attached to it. Some tongues, the meaning is interpreted supernaturally. Like in 1 Corinthians 14. In some tongues, like we said earlier, the tongues is interpreted naturally. That's in Acts 2. Someone knew the language already. I've got a friend, he leads one of the advanced churches in the United Kingdom, and he tells the story of how a lady from Uganda, he's a very Englishman, a lady from Uganda got up in a meeting and started to pray out loud in tongues. And he sensed God giving him an interpretation for that. And so he brought this interpretation to this tongue in a language he didn't understand. And then someone from East Africa came to him after the meeting and said, man, I don't know whether you speak this East African language or not, but what you interpreted was exactly in line with that tongue the lady brought, which was actually in a different language. And so God gives us this ability to supernaturally interpret sometimes. It's a powerful thing and a wonderful gift. Some people have found it helpful to differentiate between the public gift of tongues and the private gift of tongues. The private gift of tongues, and we see Paul kind of hinting at it through 1 Corinthians 14, it's me praying and it's edifying me. And so it's great for my personal devotions or if I'm facing a personal challenge because it edifies me. But then there's the public gift of tongues, and the public gift of tongues is someone praying out loud in a gathering and then God supplying the interpretation to someone else. Let me go to point number 7 right now. Praying in tongues only blesses others if it is interpreted. So praying in tongues without interpretation, it blesses me. But if I want to be a blessing to others, and that's what Paul encourages us to do, then he's so strong on this. He says, team, then we've got to be trusting God to interpret these tongues as well. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, I come and I say, untie my bow tie, who stole my Honda? Or something similar. Paul says, what I've just done, was anyone edified by what I just said? Some of you are having a good chuckle. Paul says, and this is, he comes into coaching mode, he says, hey, friends in Corinth, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instructions? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. He says, even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds like the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet doesn't sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You'll just be speaking into the air. Jump down to verse 19. Paul says, but in the church, I would rather speak even 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Let's move on to number 8. We'll circle back to some of these points. But number 8, and this is a challenge for some of us, we can pray for the gift of interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13 says, "For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue in one of your meetings should pray that he may interpret what he says." I've got a friend, he used to pastor at, he's still pastoring a church, but at one point he said, if someone comes up in one of our meetings and they bring a public tongue, not a private tongue, but a public tongue, he says, afterwards, we tell them to stand there and wait, because the Bible says he must pray for an interpretation for that public tongue. Now, you'll be glad to know that in one tribe, we take a slightly softer approach. If a public tongue is brought, then together we should be praying for an interpretation of that tongue. And the reason you need to pray for it is because it's a supernatural thing. Does that make sense? We can pray for the gift of interpretation. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So if you're in a meeting and someone brings a public tongue, don't just sit back and think, oh, I wonder who's going to interpret that. That's an opportunity for us to lean into God and say, God, would you give us an interpretation? Would you give me an interpretation? Good. Number 9. I can pray and sing with my spirit and then with my mind. Verse 15, Paul says, so what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind. I'll sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my mind. And here Michael Eaton, he pictures Paul being in a worship meeting. And then Paul starts speaking out, praying to God in tongues, in some language he doesn't understand. And then he starts singing to God in the same language that he doesn't understand. But because he's in public, he thinks to himself, oh, we need an interpretation if it's going to be edifying for the church. And so maybe Paul prays quickly, God, would you give me an interpretation for this tongue, this other language that I've just brought? And then Michael Eaton pictures the Apostle Paul then praying to God in Greek, which Paul would have understood, and then singing to God in Greek, which Paul would have understood. Paul prays with his spirit, and then he prays with his mind. He prays in tongues or other languages, and then he prays in a language that he does understand after God has given him the interpretation. You can sing in a heavenly language to God. What a privilege. Number 10. We can and we should expect the gift of languages, the gift of tongues, in our meetings. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27. Paul says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Don't you just love Paul? He's so practical. But I want us to catch here, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak. Friends, when the Holy Spirit is amongst us, he is generously, lavishly dishing out prophecies and words of instruction and tongues and interpretation of tongues. And when we're open to these and catching these, in our meetings, we won't be surprised to have two or three prophecies. And wonderfully, we see that at one tribe from time to time. But you know, in many years of pursuing spiritual gifts, I'm not sure that I've ever been in a meeting where we've had three tongues with interpretation. I don't know about you. But friends, we can eagerly desire this gift because it's a good gift that God wants us to have. And I know it's got these different and sometimes confusing dimensions of public and private and interpreted and uninterpreted and a language someone understands and a language someone doesn't understand. But I want to invite us to wade into this mystery and to expect the gift of languages in our meetings. Let's just pray now. God, we ask in salt and light this morning that you would hand out, that you would dish out lavishly, great gift giver, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. God, dish out prophecies like you did last week. God dish out healings and miracles, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Would you dish out these gifts? We, your children, we're hungry for more of them. And behind that, God, we're hungry for more of you. We can expect the gift of languages in our meetings. And I had a friend, his name is Brian, and God used him in this area often to bring tongues or languages in a meeting that no one could understand. And I found the way he described it so helpful. And you're in a meeting, and then kind of like you sometimes get a prophetic impression or prophetic sense about a verse or a picture just flashes across the wall of your mind. Sometimes you have a sense, I've got a tongue, but it's not just a me tongue. It's something to share, to give out to other people. And then the way he described it is he said, it's like having a water jug. And as you're giving this tongue, this interpretation, it's like you're pouring it out until you can feel it's empty now. And just, okay, I've given that tongue. And I just found that so helpful. And sometimes I do get that sense, there's this thing that I just feel should be poured out into the meeting. And you pour it out and you pour it out, and it's thanksgiving and praise and worship to God. And then here's the tip. As soon as the meeting leader or whoever else comes forward, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week, and someone says, hey, I've got a tongue, someone brings a tongue. If you're a mature believer, you're like, God, give us an interpretation. Or God, here am I, send me. Please give me the interpretation. And then sometimes you get a sense as the tongue is being brought, hey, this is what God is saying. And from my understanding of Scripture, we don't make rigid rules about this. From my understanding of Scripture, the interpretation then isn't man speaking to other men, but it's man speaking to God, woman speaking to God. Thanking God, praising God, declaring the wonders of God, uttering mysteries with our spirit. But it's this kind of Godward, not manward, but a Godward gushing. That would be my expectation from what I see in Scripture. Two more to go. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Number 11. This is great. Not everyone has the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 30, the Apostle Paul, he's helping this church understand the gifts of the Spirit. And what he says is, hey, listen, do all have gifts of healing? And when you study this in the original Greek, the implied answer is no. Paul says, do all speak in tongues? And again, the implied answer is no. Do all interpret? And the implied answer is no. What do we understand by this verse? Well, some people say, oh, Paul said not all speak in tongues, therefore you can count me out. I don't think that was Paul's heart in these verses. How do I understand this? Well, first of all, I'd say that I understand this to refer mainly to the public gift of tongues, because that's Paul's preoccupation in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, is the corporate worship of the church, in the gathered church. He says, not all speak in tongues. And that's backed up by, in this very verse, he's paired, do all speak in tongues? The answer is no. He's paired that with, do all interpret? And again, the answer is no, because God gives different gifts in his body. So I think that Paul is speaking mainly about this public gift of interpreted tongues. And he's saying, no, not everyone does that. The second thing I'd say about this is that in my experience, many believers who've been filled with the Spirit but don't speak in tongues privately, many do actually end up being able to speak in tongues later if they ask and keep asking. And from what I've seen in Scripture, but also from experience, God just is so generous with the prophetic. He's so generous with this gift of praying in tongues, praying in languages. Paul said, I want all of you I wish all of you prayed in tongues. I pray in tongues more than all of you. And through Acts, we see it just generously being dished out as part of this new dispensation of the Spirit. I want to take us back to verses I found so helpful through this series. Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. And again, the dynamics of the Greek language that the Bible was originally written in, that could be translated, ask and keep asking and it will be given to you. And I believe that is true for all the things of the Spirit, including tongues. Seek and keep seeking is the Greek behind it. And you will find. Knock and keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And John Piper describes this increasing intensity of asking of our Father. He describes a young child who wakes up and can't find his father, so he maybe calls out for his father. He asks, but doesn't hear anything back. So he gets out of his bed and goes looking for his father. Now he's seeking and keeps seeking until he gets to his father's study. He's asked, but he didn't just stop at asking. He got out of bed and he was seeking. And he kept on seeking until he gets to his father's study. But the study door is closed. And so what does he do? He knocks and he knocks and he knocks until his father opens. Friends, when it comes to things of the Spirit, when it comes to healing, when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to baptism in the Holy Spirit, when it comes to tongues, I want to encourage us to be a people of an eager desire, but also a people of an increasing intensity. Don't over-desire the gift of tongues, but don't under-desire it. And with all these spiritual gifts, I want to encourage you, if you want a gift, ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. And maybe you can study more about it. Maybe you can fast and pray with a spiritual intensity. But we eagerly pursue the things of the Spirit. Jesus goes on, if you ask for a fish, he won't give you a snake. If you ask for an egg, he won't give you a scorpion. When it comes to the gift of tongues, I just feel that that's something that we need to break right here, right now. Sometimes we think that this is weird, this is not a good thing. Your Heavenly Father is a good gift giver, and he wants to dish out that gift today. Some of you, maybe you've never spoken in tongues before, or maybe some of you spoke in tongues for a short while, but then for whatever reason, it kind of flagged off. Ask your Heavenly Father, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The 12th thing that every believer needs to know about the gift of tongues, the gift of languages, is that we enjoy the gift of languages in a fitting and orderly way. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Verse 28, if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So it's one of those things that's bringing this order, this fittingness. So Paul says, he says three things that will help us, and in a few moments we're going to stand together and worship and ask God to fill us with his Spirit again, ask God to release prophetic gifts amongst us, and ask God to release the wonderful gift of tongues, gift of languages amongst us. But the Apostle Paul, when he talks about corporate gatherings, about the church being gathered together, He says three helpful things. When we use tongues in our corporate gatherings, number one, two or three at the most should speak. The second thing he says is do it one at a time. And number three is someone must interpret. And so what we don't tend to do at One Tribe is to have everyone praying or singing out loud in tongues together, because this is exactly what our coach, the Apostle Paul, is saying don't do. If everyone in the room is shouting out loud together, especially if there are unbelievers present, people who are still early on in their spiritual journey, Paul says that's not helpful. You're edifying yourselves, you're not edifying the church. Paul says, hey, do it one at a time. So not all out loud together, but one at a time. Someone comes, and then someone must interpret. Because if I come to you and speak in a tongue, what good does that do you? What good does that do people who haven't heard the gospel yet? But man, with interpretation, this Godward prayer language is such a blessing. So I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to stand together and worship. God, we want to thank you for your generosity towards us in giving your Son, Jesus, and pouring out your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we live now in this age of the Holy Spirit. And God, we pray that right now you would release gifts by your Spirit. We pray that men and women right now would be filled with your Spirit again, or filled with your Spirit for the first time. God, we pray that you would release prophetic gifts and prophecies amongst us. God, we pray that you'd release new heavenly languages and prayer languages and the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we pray that you'd do all of this to the glory of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and let's begin to worship.